August 7th, 2026. A former 11-season NBA veteran posts a video declaring himself eligible for the WNBA's 2027 draft. Hours later, a former NBA first-round pick, now a candidate for the United States Senate, posts his own declaration. "I realize after 35 years, I'm actually a woman." Neither man has played a minute of professional women's basketball in his life. Both are betting the league can't explain, on the record, why that's supposed to matter. You're listening to Civic Intelligence. Today, how two former NBA players turned the WNBA's undefined eligibility standard into a public stress test. The reactions, the task force it triggered in 24 hours, and the polling behind why this fight isn't going away. The ground was already primed. For weeks before any of this, Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham had kept a controversy simmering after telling ESPN she wants to protect young girls in a locker room or young girls in sport who shouldn't have to go against biological men. A comment that drew rallies and counter-rallies outside arenas for the rest of the summer. That fight was still raging when the next act arrived. Into that environment, on August 7th, walked Enis Kanter Freedom. 11 NBA seasons, a naturalized United States citizen, a longtime human rights activist, not previously known as a locker room agitator. In a video, he declared himself eligible for the WNBA's 2027 draft, framing it as a direct test of the league's own words. "If simply declaring who you are is all that's required, then I meet every single requirement necessary to compete in the WNBA. Hours later, Freedom had company. Royce White, a 2012 NBA first-round pick and the Republican candidate for United States Senate in Minnesota, on the ballot 4 days later in the Republican primary election on August 11th, posted his own declaration and went further, threatening a lawsuit. "I'm now transgender. I'm going to pursue a career in the WNBA. I identify as a sometimes identifying trans woman. I wish to be treated fairly and don't want to be discriminated against. This is a serious pursuit." No lawsuit has actually been filed. What Freedom and White share is a bet that the WNBA cannot say in public why the same self-declaration standard that would apply to a transgender woman doesn't apply to two former NBA big men making the identical argument as a punchline. Here is the mechanism the two men were exploiting. The WNBA has never published a written standard for transgender athlete eligibility. Not a threshold, not a process, not a definition. Freedom and White's declarations only work as a stunt because there is nothing on paper to rule them out. The league's own locker room did not treat it as a philosophical exercise. Robin Lopez, a center who spent 16 seasons across 9 NBA teams, put it bluntly. "I can't imagine anybody wants Enis Kanter or Royce White around them for even 4 minutes." That's the professional assessment of a man who has actually shared a locker room with both of them. Other current players broke the other way. Golden State Valkyries forward Gabby Williams said simply, "I would welcome a trans athlete on my team." Minnesota Lynx head coach and president Cheryl Reeve, who has worn a "Trans Kids Belong" shirt courtside all summer, has been the league's most visible pro-inclusion voice throughout the controversy. Not every player treated the stunt as a joke worth entertaining, and not every player treated it as an insult either. Both camps now have a name attached to them, on the record. Commissioner Kathy Engelbert's answer, one day later, was a memo to all 15 WNBA teams acknowledging the issue will continue to receive significant attention. Plus, a new task force of team presidents and general managers to work through it. No policy, no timeline, No definition. 24 hours of institutional attention produced a committee, not an answer, which is itself the tell. If the premise behind Freedom and White's stunt were as implausible as the League's critics on the other side insist, a commissioner would not have needed a task force to say so out loud. The WNBA Players Association, the Players Union, did not engage the eligibility question at all. Its statement rejected the entire frame. Hate, abuse, and demonization of any person or group of people, including transgender people, only fuel fear, division, and harm. We will not be used as political pawns. Outside the league, reaction split along predictable lines, and the loudest voices were not shy about picking a side. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a Republican, needed 5 words and a hashtag. The absurdity is self-explanatory. Hashtag Protect Women's Sports. Former NCAA swimmer and women's sports activist Riley Gaines treated it less like a controversy and more like a scouting report. Genius. Perfect. Waiting to see which WNBA team recruits. Freedom. Not everyone treated it as strategy. Former ESPN host Jemele Hill compared the declarations to Michael Scott's fictional "I declare bankruptcy" line from The Office, a line that sounds like it accomplishes something and legally does nothing, and accused conservative media of inventing hypothetical, implausible scenarios to manufacture a crisis. She has a point on the mechanics. Nothing in the draft process obligates any team to select Freedom or White, and no team has shown the slightest interest in doing so. But the numbers Hill is arguing against are real, and they predate this stunt by years. According to Gallup's long-running trend, 69% of Americans now say transgender athletes should compete only on teams matching the sex they were assigned at birth, up from 62% in 2021. Support for competing under one's current gender identity has fallen over the same span, from 34% down to somewhere between 24 and 26%. That shift did not start with Enos Kanter Freedom's video. It is the backdrop he and White were deliberately provoking. The WNBA was not debating this in a vacuum, whatever anyone thinks of the two men doing the provoking. And the league, notably, is not hurting for attention while all of this plays out. Engelbert has touted 73 million unique viewers league-wide by the All-Star break and 16% attendance growth this season. The WNBA is thriving commercially through the controversy, not despite some deeper crisis underneath it. Whether that holds once the task force actually reports back, with all 15 teams now on record as having discussed the question formally, is the part of this story still unwritten. On August 7th, two former NBA players, Enos Kanter Freedom and Senate candidate Royce White, the Republican of Minnesota, declared themselves eligible for the WNBA's 2027 draft, using the league's own lack of a written standard as the punchline. By the next day, Commissioner Kathy Engelbert had convened a league-wide task force, and the Players' Union had rejected the entire framing outright. No policy changed. No lawsuit has been filed. No team has drafted anyone. What did change is that a league sitting on record viewership can no longer avoid answering, on the record, the one question it had managed to dodge for years. What, specifically, makes someone eligible to play? Two men proved a point about paperwork. The league still owes everyone else a definition.
Every quote, every figure, and every source behind this episode is on the page. Check it all for yourself at civicintelligence.news. And if you want accountability reporting like this the moment we publish it, subscribe to Civic Intelligence wherever you're listening.